And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? It makes another good sermon. Who art thou, Lord? Could you say for a taste and just talk about the many things that the Bible points out about who the Lord is? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Now, wait a minute. Christ was crucified. He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. Saul was young after the fact, because he was young at the time. They laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And yet Jesus said, you're persecuting me. Now, how was it the case that Saul, who was busy about doing what he was doing, Jesus already ascended to heaven, how was it that Saul was persecuting Jesus?
Persecuting the body.
He was persecuting the body. If there was just somewhere, I read in a book one time, that whatsoever you do to the least of these my brethren, you do also unto me. Where's that at? That's right, it's in the Bible. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 25. And so to do unto God's people, unto the Lord's people, is to do unto Christ, to do unto God. And you might want to make a little reference there back over to Matthew chapter 25. But you're persecuting me. You're going against, not only in persecuting Christians, but what else did he do? He also talks about in the book of Galatians, yes, he was going to bind and put into prison God's people, but what else did he do? That wasn't it. He tried to destroy what? Somebody said.
The church.
And he talks about that he tried to destroy the faith. Galatians chapter 1 into Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 1. The faith which he once tried to destroy, now he's preaching it. And so it wasn't that he just was going to go there to arrest Christians, which was bad. But also he was making havoc of the church. The book of Acts talks about that. Breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the church. And also trying to destroy the faith. And so you need those references to the book of, I'll give them to you real quick. The book of Galatians chapter 1. And in verse 23, persecuted us in time past, is one point. Now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed. And then Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And then when you go back to Acts chapter 8, you see that he was consenting unto the death of Stephen. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. And of course, in Acts chapter 8, there was a persecution of the Christians, and they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And so he was busy about doing that. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Now, inevitably, somebody's gone to allege what?
That they did hear.
That they did. That, listen here. Here's just another example of the many Bible contradictions. You got to explain to people that one can hear and not understand. Some things I'm telling you, I feel like, that I say over and over and over, and people don't hear a word I say. You ever feel that way? I know you do as a parent. I said it over and over, but hearing's been tested. There's no problem with hearing. We know the hear, but they don't what? They don't listen. And if you don't listen, you don't understand. So you got to point that out to people who don't know that. And so they saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? Remember that Acts 9, verse 6, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I wish more people were interested in asking that question. Make you some notes in the margin of your Bible, Acts 2, verse 37 to Acts chapter 9, verse 6, Acts 16, 30 and 31. That's individual responsibility. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? What must I do to be saved? And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And we've already studied who told Paul. Ananias did. Does anybody have a version that says, and the Lord said unto me, do nothing. Do nothing. Nothing for you to do. You've already accepted me as your personal Lord and Savior. No, nobody. And he was just simply told of the Lord, you get up and it'll be told you what you have to do, what you must do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, did somebody make a comment? Did I miss it? Thought I heard talking. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul. You know how to answer that. Brother Saul, receive thy sight, and the same hour I looked up upon him. Now, Acts chapter 22 doesn't tell us what Acts chapter 9 does about somebody being afraid to go to Saul. Ananias, Lord, I've heard by many of the evil that this man hath done unto thy saints, and he's come here with that intent. But the Lord said, go. Go thy way. He's a chosen vessel unto me, and I'll show him how he must bear my names before kings and the Gentiles and so forth. And Ananias does. So, receive thy sight. Same hour I looked upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Now, sometimes you may have people say where it talks about going to the city and it'll be told thee there what thou must do. They'll say, now, wait a minute. He was already saved. So the text is not dealing with that. The text is just dealing when he actually goes to the city, because now he's a Christian going to the city, that he's going to the city to be told the things that are appointed unto him. Well, we're reading about that. But the problem is that's a bucket that won't hold water. Because again, the best way to deal with the fact that he's not a Christian outside of the fact of Acts 22 verse 16 is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Lord didn't preach to him before he got to Damascus. That's not why the Lord appeared to him. Now Paul's going to talk about why the Lord appeared to him. But the Lord didn't preach the gospel to Saul. Get up, go to the city. And when you get there, it'll be told thee there. What he must do in order to become a Christian, he's getting ready to deal with that, and what's appointed unto you. What you must do. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Was Paul chosen? Yeah, that's what the text says. But Paul also deals with that in the book of Galatians. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace that I might preach him among the heathen or the Gentile, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, had chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will. Okay, so Paul needs to know the will of God. But Paul didn't know the will of God. The only way that Paul is going to know the will of God is how? He taught it the same way you are in becoming a Christian. Now, keep in mind that Paul is going to receive what he needs to preach to others how? Yeah, miraculous, by revelation. He talks about that in 1 Corinthians 14:37 and Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5, and other passages, where he talks about the fact that And the book of Galatians is another good reference for that when he says, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. In other words, I didn't go to the apostles and say what I need to be preaching. No, what he preached he received by revelation. And he dealt with that in Galatians chapter 1 verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For neither was I taught it to man, but how? But by revelation. Should know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. So I want to ask a question. We might backtrack just a little bit. Why, I'm not going to write all this out. Why did the Lord appear unto Saul? Now, before you answer out loud, was it to save him? No. Why did he appear to Saul? It said Saul was a chosen vessel, Acts 9 and in this passage.
He was going to be an apostle. So to be an apostle, he had to have seen the Lord. And Acts 1 gives the instructions for it, or the qualifications for someone to be an apostle.
Excellent. There's more than one reason as to why the Lord appeared unto Saul. But if there was one that you have got to be familiar with, it's this one. You've got to know that. Because men don't qualify to be apostles today. Though there are people who say, we have apostles, the Mormon church, we have apostles, 70, 71, however many there are, that they claim that they have. Not so. We know that the word apostle can be used at least two ways in the Bible. We've covered that. One way, in a very general way, means what? Good job. One sin. In a very specific way, it's what? Yeah, men selected by Christ who met the qualifications that are mentioned in Acts chapter 1. Must one be ordained with us a witness of his resurrection? Be with us in and all the time that the Lord went in and out among us from beginning at the baptism of John. You have to know that. Someone says, well, now, wait a minute. The Lord, he was already gone. Had already been crucified. So how did Saul qualify to be an apostle? Here's your answer. You have to know. Why else did he appear unto Saul? See, I don't qualify to be an apostle. Neither do you. Why? I've never seen the Lord. And when folks today say, well, I saw the Lord last night, laid on my heart, he came where I was sleeping, and one time I saw the Lord, and he was so tall. Next minute, you know, somebody said, I saw the Lord, and he was just a short man. Now, wait a minute. Well, the problem with that is because if I want to teach that, Saul saw the Lord, and as a result of that, yes, he qualified to be an apostle. But why else? Yeah, good job. And he's mentioned in the text that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. So, is Paul going to teach that Jesus raised from the dead based on what other people had said? No, first-hand knowledge. He saw the Lord himself. I mean, do you think about the powerful writing that he did in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the great resurrection chapter of the New Testament, and he's talking about the fact that, listen, we've preached that Jesus rose from the dead, but you're still in your sins and your faith is vain if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And we're false witnesses. We've just lied if the Lord didn't rise from the dead. But he knew that the Lord raised from the dead, not based on the testimony of others, though there were many people who saw the Lord. But based upon the fact that he saw the Lord. Then verse 16. And now why tarriest thou? What catches your attention about that phrase, and now why tarriest thou?
What are you waiting on?
Yeah, well, And there are a number of things I point out in sermons along the way that individuals might tarry because of. And you go back to Acts chapter 8, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, there's a number of reasons that sometimes people not get up and obey the command to be baptized. Maybe they think, I don't know enough, or family relationships, or things I've got to take care of before I do, and the list just goes on and on. And now, I think about, in light of what he just said, in light of what Ananias has told him, now what are you waiting on? You've seen the Lord. You're here. I've told you what I was supposed to tell you. Now why tarryest thou? Why delay? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We will not get past this verse, but we're going to make some comments. We've got just a couple minutes. And be baptized. Why be baptized? Well, first of all, in the very text, somebody said, wash away thy sins. We've got to come back to that. Not today, but happy next week. We've got to know some things about that. But why? Why else would Paul be baptized? Baptism is not just to wash away thy sins.
Put him into Christ.
Yeah, that's right. To get into Christ. Maybe you just build a sermon about that. Galatians 3, Romans 6, why else? Think of all the passages. All you got to do is think about the passages in the New Testament that talks about what baptism's for. And you've got a sermon that'll lather. Put you into Christ. That's right. Added to the church. Acts 2:47. To be saved. Right? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. 1 Peter 3:21.
Raised in the likeness of the resurrection.
Good job. Raised in likeness. There's my spell check if I miss something and I'm covered. Raised in likeness. Romans 6 verses 1 through 6. You just keep on going. So that he could have the remission of sins. Acts chapter 2 verse 38. To keep the commands of God. Acts 10 verse 48.
Answer of good conscience.
Answer of a good conscience toward God. 1 Peter 3:21. And just all those passages that talk about what baptism's for, that's why Saul is being baptized. That's why he must be baptized in order to go to heaven. Revelation 22:14. Couple that with Acts 10:48. And so, by the way, when you establish a Bible rule, for example, that baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. That rule holds true every time baptism is mentioned, even though it's not specifically stated. And so in all the accounts of conversion from Acts 2 to Acts 19 that say they were baptized, you know it's always for these things, for the remission of sins, to be in Christ, and so forth. Now why tarry thou? Rise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We will not leave this verse till we talk about calling on the name of the Lord and how baptism washes away one's sins. That's a proper way to say that, but also how is one's sins washed away when they are baptized? We've got to cover that. So we'll have to stop here. Our time's come and gone and pick it up next week. I appreciate the good comments and your attention.